Welcome to the Dry Bones Ministries podcast, where we strive to provide great preaching and teaching so that listeners will discover or rediscover the goodness, truth, and beauty of our Catholic faith. If you are interested in supporting the work we are doing, visit us at drybonespgh.org or follow us on social media at drybonespgh. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you're inspired, uplifted, and encouraged. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dry Bones Ministries special podcast series on 33 Days to Merciful Love. My name is Father Adam Potter, and we are on to day 16 today. Yesterday, we talked about what the consecration is not, and today we'll talk about what it is. So let's pray, as always, asking the Holy Spirit to come and enlighten our mind, our hearts, our souls, and open ourselves up to seeing God more accurately for the truth of who He is, so that we can respond wholeheartedly, even with a love unto folly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who have taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Day 16. What it is. Yesterday, we learned that St. Therese's little way does not culminate in an offering to divine justice, but rather in an offering to divine mercy. So what is it? Therese herself tells us as she makes an ardent prayer to the Lord. Quote, O my God, will your justice alone find souls willing to immolate themselves as victims? Does not your merciful love need them too? On every side, this love is unknown, rejected. Those hearts upon whom you would lavish it turn to creatures, seeking happiness from them with their miserable affection. They do this instead of throwing themselves into your arms and of accepting your infinite love. O my God, is your disdained love going to remain closed up within your heart? It seems to me that if you were to find souls offering themselves as victims of holocaust to your love, you would consume them rapidly. It seems to me, too, that you would be happy not to hold back the waves of infinite tenderness within you. If your justice loves to reveal itself, this justice which extends only over the earth, how much more does your merciful love desire to set souls on fire, since your mercy reaches to the heavens? O my Jesus, let me be this happy victim. Consume your holocaust with the fire of your divine love. End quote. From this beautiful prayer, we begin to arrive at the essence of the offering to merciful love. And the key lines that reveal its essence are actually two questions. The first one is this: does not your merciful love need victims too? The implied answer is yes. Jesus needs little souls to receive His merciful love, and that's the beauty of Therese's path. It's not a path on which Jesus gives grace and mercy because we deserve it, rather, because He feels the need to give it. Of course, we can walk the path of merit by focusing on what we deserve. In other words, we can be anxious about our merits like the poor victim of justice, Sister Marie of Jesus, who said from her deathbed, I don't have enough merits. I must acquire more of them. Or we can travel the path of mercy by giving our attention to Jesus, who longs for souls into whom He can pour His merciful love. One expert on Carmelite spirituality contrasted these two paths, that of merit and that of mercy, as follows. Quote, God brings about our sanctification by the diffusion of grace, which He gives according to our merits, or simply to satisfy the need of His mercy. I don't know about you, but I choose the latter path. Okay, so here's the second key question in Therese's ardent prayer. Is your disdained love going to remain closed up within your heart? That is the million-dollar question. But it's not really a question for Jesus. It's a question for us. Actually, it's a question for you. I've already shared what path I've chosen. So what about you? Are you going to have pity on Jesus? Are you going to console his heart by letting him pour into your soul the love that others have rejected? If you say yes to this offering, then it seems that Jesus would be happy not to hold back the waves of, what? Infinite justice? Infinite harshness? No, infinite tenderness. Now, who wouldn't want that? All right, but before you answer which path you'll choose, justice or mercy, harshness or tenderness, I'd like to bring in the testimony of another great saint of divine mercy. I do this because it may be hard to believe that Jesus actually needs us and what we truly can give, and that we can truly give relief to his sacred and merciful heart. To help us understand, listen to what the Lord himself said to Saint Faustina about the rejected grace and mercy of his heart. Quote, I desire to bestow my graces upon souls, but they do not want to accept them. You, at least, come to me as often as possible and take these graces they do not want to accept. In this way, you will console my heart. Oh, how indifferent are souls to so much goodness, to so many proofs of love. My heart drinks only of the ingratitude and forgetfulness of souls living in the world. They have time for everything, but they have no time to come to me for graces. The flames of mercy are burning me. I desire to pour them out upon human souls. Oh, what pain they cause me when they do not want to accept them. I am looking for souls who would like to receive my grace. End quote. So, do you want to console Jesus by receiving his grace? Will you accept the rejected mercy that burns his heart? Will you be, as Saint Therese puts it, his happy victim by letting him pour into your soul his waves of infinite tenderness? Will you offer yourself as a victim soul to his merciful love? Maybe you're not quite ready. Maybe you're saying to yourself, that sounds wonderful, but what's the catch? In other words, what's it going to cost me? Great question. We'll answer it tomorrow. Today's prayer, come Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, prepare my heart to receive waves of infinite tenderness from the heart of Jesus. Okay, everybody, there is a great explanation. What we just read is a really helpful insight from Therese's heart into her motivation to make this offering to merciful love. And again, I guess I'm first inspired by the fact that this comes from her understanding of the heart of who God is. And that's significant to me because perhaps you could say, well, in comparison to divine justice, that takes a lot of effort and a lot of like greatness of soul to be able to offer all these different sacrifices and penances and sufferings and everything else, the path to merciful love is a little bit easier, so, or something like that. And I don't see Therese as doing this, first of all, because of a lack of generosity, but really because of her understanding of who God is. And it's in understanding who God is that now she's able to then see the great grief that how many souls miss it, take it for granted, or wander away, or abuse it altogether. This merciful love that is culminated on the cross, that it's there in the crucifix that we're able to see the greatest act of love this world has ever known. And it's there that, yes, there's a satisfaction of justice, but it's through his suffering that we can see the gratuitousness of his love and of this mercy that the Lord so desires to reveal the depths of his love. This is St. Paul to the Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that it's difficult for anyone to lay down their life for even a just person. But God, he proves his love for us in this, and that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Like, we're the offenders, we're the wicked ones, we're the ones who have rejected him. And it's in the offering of the Son of God that we have access to his mercy, to this reconciliation. And so that for me is helpful. This first question that Father Gately highlights is, does not your merciful love need victims too? On one level, it's hard to talk about God needing any of us or needing to do anything. He's perfectly content and whole and entire within himself, utterly simple, the God who is love for all eternity, never tiring or wavering. The Father continues to love the Son receiving that love offers it back to the Father, and the fruit is the third person of the Holy Spirit. But when we look at the economy of salvation, the way that out of the overflowing goodness, God creates and wants to share that love, wants to share that life, that when we fell away, he offered us the path back. That no one can come to the Father except through me, says Jesus. And so it's through relationship with Jesus, entering into his life through his merciful love, that we can come back to the Father. And so the offering has been made. The offering on the cross, that satisfaction for our sins has been made. The question is, will we respond? And so in that light, I see this need, quote unquote, right? This need that the offering's been made, but the responses are waiting. And so, does not your merciful love need victims too? That we who are reading this book, we who are sensitive to the tender mercy of God, would grieve over what we see in our church, what we see in our families, what we see in our society as a real neglect, rejection, or abuse of this incredible offering. And I don't know about you, sometimes I can get really disheartened, discouraged, frustrated, seeing a lot of irreverence, a lot of abuse, a lot of neglect. And I can have this question like, what do I do? How do I fix it? How do I convince them? How do I show them what they're doing? And this response is saying, I'm going to console the heart of Jesus. That instead of trying to just fix the others or like vent my anger, I'm going to see Jesus. And here he is on the cross. Here he is offering himself. And to all those who aren't present, who aren't responding, the one thing that I'm in control of is my own response. And so I'm going to offer myself as a victim. And I'm going to seek to make reparation, be present, and by consoling that heart of Jesus, there I can actually receive what Therese is teaching. I can actually receive the graces that are being poured out but not received by these other souls. And so, I don't know, I guess I say that, and as I read this too, there's perhaps a chance that I might think that's selfish. But it's not selfish. We're not doing it so that we can get grace, so that we can get these extra graces that other people are missing out on. That's not why we do it. We do it first and foremost to console the heart of Jesus, to see to see his brokenness of heart and having these souls not respond. And the fruit of that is that the Lord desires to bless us. And the Lord wants to give away this mercy. And that for us who are willing to console him, to offer ourselves to his mercy, can receive in abundance. So I hope that makes sense in kind of teasing out that first really important question that he offers it. Great. And then the second question is this. Is your disdained love going to remain closed up within your heart? Is your disdained love, right? Is that love that's rejected, taken advantage of, abused? Is it going to remain closed up within your heart? And Father Gately says, you know, that's really not a question for God. That's a question for you and me. And you see why? Because to know who God is to know that he doesn't just hold it up within his own heart. He's not looking for reasons to hold back. That's what you and I do. we might desire to make a really generous offering, but then as soon as we see something that isn't exactly as we expected or as we like or as we desire, we take our offering back. Or maybe we change our offering because, yeah, it's not suitable to our expectations. That's not how God is. He doesn't look for reasons to be stingy. He looks for reasons to be generous. And it's the very nature of who he is. It's the reality that we see in the offering of the Son. It's the reality of the Holy Spirit, that gift at Pentecost and through the life of the church and the sacraments and sacramentals, that God so desires to pour out grace and access to his love, his mercy, his protection, that it's, in a sense, it's endless. Just the question is, will we respond? Will we respond and offer our own selves as these victims to be present to him? And this in a very clear way is confirmed by Saint Faustina, to really see most clearly who God is and that he so desires to be generous, to offer his love, and to invite us to console his heart. In this way, you will console my heart. Oh, how indifferent are souls to so much goodness, to so many proofs of love. My heart drinks only of the ingratitude and forgetfulness of souls living in the world. They have time for everything else, but they have no time to come to me for graces. So there's words, right? Right as in this revelation to Saint Faustina, right from the heart of God, how he longs to give his love, how he longs to give access to who he is, and to be able to see that heart of God who grieves. Instead of trying to fix the uncontrollables, how do I change this? How do I fix this? How do I let people know? I can first respond, allow my own life to be a sacrifice. I'm going to give up my own temptations to be distracted with everything that the world says you really need to do. You really need to get under control. You really need to be entertained by this and consumed by this. It's like, I want to be consumed by God's mercy. I want to be consumed by his love, by his heart, by his face, to be able to find it every moment that I can see him, love him, console him, and in that, give a victim to be consumed by the fire of his merciful love. And that's why we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, prepare my heart to receive waves of infinite tenderness from the heart of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Friends, a joy to be with you again for this day. I'm lifting you all up in prayer. Please lift me up and everyone else who's doing this too, that this might be a true, fruitful journey to the heart of who God is and to a generous offering of ourselves as these victims to merciful love. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace. Thank you for joining us for this episode. To learn more about Drybones Ministries events and initiatives, and to support this podcast, go to drybonespgh.org. Thanks, and God bless you.